Hi, and welcome to the Science and News Discussion Panel. My name's Helon.
I'm Elena.
And I'm Jenna. Today we're discussing the implications and context of the paper that was recently published by Dr. Lee's team at UBC.
We met with Dr. Lee on-site at her laboratory and talked to her about her research. For those of you who didn't get a chance to look at the video for an introduction, you can pause the podcast here and take a quick look at it. We promise we'll still be here when you come back.
Now that we know a little about this topic, we will explore what these findings mean to the research community, and later, how the possible applications could change agriculture practices. To start off, what would the benefits be from studying these particular proteins and how they interact? Could that really tell us anything about plant immunity in general?
Well, I think when looking at the big picture, what Dr. Lee's team have discovered may seem very modest. After all, this is just a few proteins out of over 150 immune receptor proteins, also known as ARP proteins, and that's only one plant, with a really tiny genome.
Exactly. The Arabidopsis genome has a million base pairs, but that's pretty small. That's just a quarter of what rice plants have. If we wanted to do the same research for other plants, that would take ages.
Yeah, and that's also what really makes these first steps important and necessary, especially because this is still a very new field of study. So let's take a moment and hear what Dr. Lee thinks of these first steps into this new area of research.
We hope that by studying these like less than 10 R genes, we will be able to figure out at least, like say, some of them, how they work, right? So then in the future, like the future generations of scientists can build on like their questions on like our shoulders.
So what's amazing is that researchers were in fact building their questions on others' shoulders when the study of NLR proteins began.
In fact, when plant research began finding these resistance proteins, they were surprised to see that they looked like a type of immune receptors that are known to be present throughout the whole animal kingdom.
These similarities between plants and animals are very useful in doing research on immune proteins. For example, when researchers were studying animal resistance proteins, they found that some of them don't do anything into the cell until they all pair up, at which point they're activated and get to work. So when plant researchers heard about this, they wanted to find out if the same thing occurs in plant proteins, and lo and behold, it actually does.
So this kind of activation process was kind of figured out by both the animal people and also the plant people. So you can see that because of the mechanistic similarity, so people in both fields can benefit from each other's research, right? The research fields really feed on each other, and then both will progress faster, I guess.
Okay, that's definitely a good thing. The two fields can complement each other and maybe fill each other's blind spots to make a more complete picture of immune responses in both fields.
So what sort of things can we do with this knowledge? Can we make our crops completely invincible to pathogens whenever we want to?
So we are not there yet. And okay. So far, actually, there's no, I wouldn't say there isn't a good application example yet in the crop plants that people use biotechnology to enhance resistance.
So this is where biotechnology can come in. If we find a way to create a molecule that can increase the number of resistance proteins, we will have a way of effectively keeping our plants healthy while maintaining a high yield.
As exciting as that sounds, we also have to keep in mind that this is thinking very far into the future. Dr. Lee explained to us that it will probably take 100 years to fully map the immune response and R proteins of Arabidopsis.
So how is it that we can already have genetically modified plants? How is this different from having GM corn or tomatoes?
That's the thing. We won't actually be changing the genome, only how plants express it. So we could walk around the whole GMO issue. We wouldn't be tinkering with genomes, just temporarily changing how much of a certain protein is produced in the plant.
So essentially, instead of changing what our plants do, we're simply changing how much or how little of it they do. It would be like having a dial to control how much resistance we want our plants to have.
So let's hope that this can become reality sooner rather than later. After all, climate change and population growth as a species will soon be very vulnerable to crop failure in the near future.
But hopefully that won't happen before you hear from us again.
Alright, that's all for now. Till next time.